chaos. But I love it. Amen? I would never want to come up here and dismiss Junior Church and there be the sound of no little kids confused about where to go. That would break my heart. And I hope it would break yours. I'm thankful that we have kids. Amen? That means the church has a future. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 this morning, if you have your Bibles. If you brought your Bibles to church, say amen. Amen. I hope you brought your Bible to church. Matthew chapter 5, we were here last week. We'll be probably in here the next few weeks, if the Lord allows that. Matthew chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse number 3, and we'll read down just a few verses. We dealt with verse number 4 last week. Well, today we're going to deal with verse number 3. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in what, church? Spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We talked last week about some people that we ought to be mourning for, lost souls and even saved souls that are prodigals and have gone astray. And we talked about how we should mourn for each other spiritually, mourn for each other. You know, there's hurting people, not just physically, but spiritually all around us, and we need to care a little bit more. Amen? Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which went before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so what, church? Shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your truth. And Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. And Lord, many, many things we could be thankful for and should be thankful for. But today, Lord, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be in your house this morning. And Lord, I don't want to mess this up this morning. I want you to use me to your honor and glory. Lord, let your people hear from you, not from me this morning. God, I just want to be a messenger. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this place. We don't want anything to do with him. Bless the kids in junior church. Lord, thank you for the junior church workers. Lord, I ask you to bless each and every one of those little young men and young ladies that are back there. Lord, may they grow up and have hearts to serve you. And Lord, may we grow up spiritually and have hearts to serve you. Now, Lord, just cleanse me of sin now and empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning. Allow me to preach, Lord, like it's my last time. And Lord, if it is, Lord, please let it honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Verse number 3, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in what? Spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to preach out of this verse this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What steps are you taking to lay up for yourself treasure in heaven this morning? What have you done lately that would please your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How busy are you making sure that you have everything you could ever want or desire down here on earth? How busy are you laying up for yourselves treasures on earth is a better way to put that. And how can I know if I am poor in spirit? I want to try to answer these questions this morning. I wonder this morning, if this past week, if you could go back and you could relive from last Sunday morning to right now, and you wrote it down on a piece of paper, I wonder how many of you would say, Brother Drew, I think I've did a pretty good job laying up for myself treasure in heaven over the last 7 days. Don't raise your hands. But in your heart. Or I wonder you could say, Brother Drew, I meant to do a good job to try to stack up my treasure in heaven, but I kind of sort of focused on the treasure on the earth more than I focused on the treasure in heaven. Well, this morning I just want to help you Because the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let me give you some ways this morning that you could that could help you understand if you are being poor in spirit or living a self-righteous life. That's the opposite of being poor in spirit. You're living life for you, living life selfishly, living life for what you can gain here in this present world, not worrying about eternal gain or eternal value. How many know each and every one of you in this room has a never-dying soul? When you die, don't let the world fool you that it's just over. Your physical life is over, but your spiritual life has just really begun. Because for all eternity, you either have a lost spirit that's going to live eternal, by the way. You are going to live forever somewhere. All God's people said, amen. Amen. If you're lost, your spirit man's going to die, and you're going to be in hell like the rich man lifted up his eyes. And for all eternity, you'll be in hell until the great white throne judgment, which then you'll come out of hell and you'll go to the great white throne judgment. And that last time the book will be open and God will say, I don't see your name here. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And you'll come out of hell that day. You'll sit there for that judgment. That judgment's going to be awful. If you're saved, you won't be there. If you're lost, you're going to be there. They're going to double check the books. They're gonna check the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, to see if your name's in it. And of course, it's not going to be, because you were in hell. And then you're going to get cast into an eternal lake of fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And can I tell you something? There's nothing you're going to be able to do about that. But here's the reality. If you're lost, hey, there's something you can do about it. You can obey the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God and get saved this morning. Stop putting it off, thinking that you have more time. Don't let people fool you. And Christian, listen, blessed are the poor in spirit. Listen, how many of you have worried about a lost soul this week to the point that you've invited them to church, that you've told them about Jesus? Look, I loved it this morning. Many of you came to me this morning and said, Brother Drew, we invited these people to church. They showed up. Hey, what a blessing. Isn't it good to see when you're obedient that God will reward you? That's a blessing. And you smile on your face and you think, man, this thing is pretty fun. It's not about numbers, folks. It's about getting people to know Jesus Christ. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm talking about a preacher. You, sons and daughters, should be telling people about Jesus Christ everywhere you go. I'm thankful that we have people that are willing to do that. But am I living a life that is poor in spirit, or am I living a self-righteous life? You say, how can I know? Well, number one, can I say this? You should recognize your own sin and spiritual emptiness and realize this: without Jesus Christ, you are nothing. So how can I know if I'm living a self-righous life, or if I'm living poor in spirit? Listen, if you're living poor in spirit this morning, you know what you're going to realize? That you're just one beggar telling another beggar where you found bread. You are a sinner that deserved hell, that did not deserve anything that Jesus Christ offered you. He offered you the gift of salvation. You took it, and you need to realize that it was nothing about you. You look in the mirror every day and you say, how unworthy I am. But many of us have this view. Well, if God lost me, he sure would be losing a jewel. But you ain't told nobody about Jesus in years. Folks, listen. God don't need you. You need him. You must get to a point in your life where you understand that you are a sinner, and without Christ, you are nothing. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have, what, church? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do you mean, come short? I mean this. You were born with a sin nature. You were born into sin. Thanks to your father, Adam, you were born into sin. Therefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. Hey, and it got passed by to all men. We all are born with a sin nature. None of us are born saved. Okay, y'all understand that? We're not born saved. You grew up a sinner, and the day the Holy Ghost of God started convicting you, you became aware that without Jesus Christ in your heart, you were going to die and you were going to split hell wide open. You are now responsible. You understand that without him, there's no hope. But you reject and you reject and you reject and you reject, and you think, I don't have to do it now. I don't have to do it now. I don't have to do it now. Hey, what if now's the last time? What if this is the last chance that God has given you? One more opportunity this morning. You're not promised that the Holy Ghost is even going to convict you ever again. There'll come a time when he'll stop convicting you. There'll come a time, I don't know how, listen, I'm thankful he didn't stop for me for 2.5 years. But I don't know, Brother Scott, if he'd have convicted me anymore after 9 years old. I'm thankful I don't have to worry about that. But what about you this morning? What about you that are basing your salvation all on your own self-righteousness and all that you have done? And what would God lose if he lost me? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Folks, listen. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit, or for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Recognize that you're a sinner. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of being like Paul. Those things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And those things that I do, those are the things that I don't want to do. Why do we live like that? Because it's all about who? Me. And in reality, hey, we're bought with a price. We're called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And how can I do that? Deny myself. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. What do you mean, take up my cross? I mean, listen, following Christ, there's still going to be some bumps in the road. You know what I'm saying? There's still going to be some trials. There's going to be ups. There's going to be mountaintops experiences, and there's going to be valleys. But can I say this? He said, hey, take up that cross. Follow me. In other words, you get behind me. Let me lead you. You don't try to lead the Holy Ghost. Amen? Let the Holy Ghost be your guide. After all, that is his job. We got to stop thinking that God looks at sin in different categories. Now, we do because we're humans. But here's how God looks at sin. Jesus died for that. The only reason Jesus had to die was because you and I are sinners. And we needed a way to a Savior. And the only way we were going to get to God who created us was through Jesus Christ, his Son, who obeyed the Father, you know, became flesh, dwelt among us, took among himself, I mean, so much torment, so much torture. 40 days and 40 nights, sweating drops of blood. Why? Because he was in anguish over you. I can only picture him looking ahead in time. And by the way, Jesus did look ahead in time. When he died for all sin. All sin has been paid for. Don't get it confused. Past, present, and future have been paid for, paid in full. I could only picture him in anguish in that garden, seeing the face of a young man that would be born in 1990 and would grow up in a split home and would one day get married to a pastor's daughter, and God would begin to use that preacher in his life to transform him, and with the work of the Holy Ghost and some good men of God stepping in and transform him into a preacher and a pastor. And one day he would say, you know, he's going to break my heart over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's what he was sweating those great drops of blood for. But I could also picture the faces of the ones that are in this building this morning that Jesus Christ saw that are lost without him, without hope, in anguish. God, I'm going to pay for their sin, but they're going to reject me. I wonder this morning, is that you? Is that you? You know, that blood was shed for you. That blood was shed for you. If you're lost in here today, listen, you're without excuse. You're going to die and you're going to go to hell without Jesus Christ. We've got to get away from the idea that God really doesn't really care what I do. God does, he does care. He said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We need to get back to calling sin what it is. It's bad. It hurts us spiritually. It hurts our physical relationships. It hurts our earthly relationships. It hurts our spiritual relationships. It hurts everything. God hates sin. We must realize we are sinners and we have fallen short of God's glory. This being said, we must realize this is why Jesus had to die. He died for all man's sins. But not only should we recognize our own sin and our spiritual emptiness. And without Jesus, we're nothing. But can I say this? Number two, can I say this? We must learn not to have a prideful heart. Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about believers who are prideful and think that they're something that they're not. What does the Bible say about you? And also realize that every good thing we have is from God. James 4:6, the Bible says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto what, church? The humble." Listen, gentlemen, ladies, if you have a proud spirit, God is resisting you. You're so proud to think, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Preacher, you might as well zip it. Hey, listen, I ain't going to zip it until God tells me to. You need to humble yourself, ma'am, sir, and realize that God hates your sin. And that prideful heart is one of the seven things that he hates. Matter of fact, it calls it an abomination unto him. But you're living poor in spirit. No, you're not. You're living heady, high-minded, thinking about yourself all the time. Living for yourself. Proverbs 29:23, look at this. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Hey, carry your pride as long as you can, but God said you will not go unpunished. He will bring you down. See, that's one thing you can't control. God. Amen? He created you. Don't forget, without him, you'd be nothing. You wouldn't even be here. And you think, well, you just don't know who you're talking to, preacher. I don't care. God doesn't care. God's no respecter of persons. Y'all know the Bible says that? You know, Jesus Christ died not for him and then skipped over and died for the next guy. We're not Calvinist. Y'all all right? We're all born into sin. We were all at one point in time lost. And we all need a Savior this morning. Amen. And Jesus Christ died for every single one of us. Amen. Galatians 6:3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Folks, this is Bible, not, this isn't Drewology here, okay? Philippians 2:3. Something else we should put aside and understand that we need to do is realize that every good thing we have comes from God. You guys know that? We have a lot of good things that have happened to us. A lot of good things we can be thankful for. You better understand that God is the only reason you have anything. At any moment, God could take away everything. Ever read the book of Job? Hey, Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In other words, don't do it for praise of men and don't go around bragging on what God allowed you to do. Brag on God. Don't. Look what I did. Look what I did. No. All you did was be obedient. Thank God for finally getting there spiritually. Amen? Just be obedient. You don't need someone to pat you on the back. You're laying up for yourself treasure in heaven. God sees what you're doing. He's not going to forget it. No, you're not, that your labor is not in vain this morning. It's not in vain. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. The next time you worrying about how good a job you did, why don't you find what your partner did or what another laborer in the church did and say, hey, brother, I really appreciate you going visiting with us this week. You did a good job. Quit looking for compliments. If all you're feeding on is compliments and that's all that's keeping you going, you're doing it for the wrong reason in the first place. Do it for God. You didn't see Jesus getting any compliments hanging before the foundations of the world. He was getting spit on, mutilated, tortured, cussed at, beaten, bruised. No one was saying, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Oh, but there was a thief over there. Remember him? He was in a very humble spot, wasn't he? Hanging right there next to Jesus. And he said, hey, what do I got to do to get where you're going?
Sir, that faith have made thee whole. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. All those same people, the multitudes of people that he had healed, the miracles that they had seen, they're just cussing him and spitting on him, making fun of him. No one was saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Most of his disciples betrayed him, went away, denied that they even knew him. You remember that? Denied that they even knew him. Hey, who are you to think that you need praise of men? You know what men are? They're carnal. They're going to fail you. They're flesh. But we serve a God who cannot fail. We serve a God who will not fail. He's never failed me. Learn to lift others up and brag on them for their service for the Lord. Quit looking for compliments. God sees what you are doing. Your labor is not in vain unless it's done with a wrong heart. And number three, we must understand our need for God and learn how to grow and become dependent on Him. You know, you shouldn't be in the same place spiritually as you were 20 years ago. Imagine when babies are born, they cry, and then, you know, most of them, I've never seen a baby that could sit up right out of the womb, have you? They got to be taught this stuff, right? We train them and we teach them. And, all right, we sit them up and we make sure they don't hurt themselves if they fall backwards. Their heads go boop. Why? Because they're not strong enough to do that yet, right? But in time, through training, they learn to keep that head up. And, you know, they'll be on their belly and then their kid will pick his head up. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh, he's finally holding his head up. You know how exciting that is? And then they roll over. And everyone's excited that they can roll over. And then they start crawling and now we're complaining because they're into everything, right? But look, what about on a spiritual level? See, most of us are still in that spiritual level of that baby that sits there and you put him on, you let him go and he goes, boop. That's where we are spiritually. Some of us have finally gotten to the point where we can sit up but our head's just bobbing away. Not really there yet. But why? After being saved 10, 20, 30, 40 years, why are we not crawling spiritually yet? Y'all see what I'm saying? It's because we're dependent upon ourselves. You understand? You know, that baby's dependent on us. He couldn't change his own diaper. Right? He'd be in a mess, literally, wouldn't he? For a long time without some help. You know what you're in? A spiritual mess without Jesus Christ and the Bible's help. You've got to learn to become dependent upon God and stop relying on what you are capable of doing. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. See, God put this verse in here and I'm like, Lord, this ain't part of the point. He said, oh, yes, it is. Because there's people that you're going to preach to your whole life, Drew, that believe in me, but they haven't trusted on me for salvation. Stop saying, oh, I believe in God. No, no, it don't matter. The devils believe in God. They fear and tremble. They're not going to heaven, are they? Why? Because they're lost. Just like you. And here today, don't believe, oh, I believe in God. I must be going to heaven. Can I say this morning that believing that there is a God is not enough for you to get to heaven? Here we see that even the devils also believe and tremble, but we know that they're not going to heaven. The devil and his demons are destined for hell. They know that God is real. They rejected Jesus Christ when they wanted to be like him and above him. They lost their opportunity. Today, if you're sitting here, can I say you still have an opportunity if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you that you are lost today. Today is a day of salvation. You need to make that right today. Don't believe the lie that you have tomorrow. No one can promise you tomorrow. God holds the keys to death and to hell, by the way. Stop believing a lie. Luke 1:37. We got to start relying on God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. We must learn to rely on God for our needs. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Can I say this morning, you must learn to love wisdom and knowledge. How many would say you like learning stuff? You know that, what I shared with you in Sunday school, that blew my mind when that preacher preached that message. I was like, man, I cannot wait to share that. And look, I'm not so prideful to say that I learned that from somebody else. Holy Spirit used them to show me something. And it meant something to me, and I wanted you to see it. It was a blessing. Listen, I love wisdom, and I love knowledge, and I love it when I go to church or when I go to work or when I'm wherever I'm at, and I learn something new that can benefit me, maybe physically or spiritually. You know what I'm saying? Everybody should learn that. But what about on the spiritual side? The Bible says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know that guy who thinks he knows it all? How many like to be around a know-it-all? Man, you're going to find out just how good they were from birth. They were shooting three-pointers and dunking a basketball. They come out of the womb saying sentences. Smarter than Jesus. They just know it all. How many like to be around somebody that boasts about themselves all the time? Does anybody like to hear that? What's the answer? Say it. No. So stop doing it. Because no one cares how good you think you are. No one really cares. Let your actions speak louder than your what, church? Words. The Bible says fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Can I say this morning, you must learn to love wisdom and knowledge and not become as a fool as the Bible calls you. If you despise wisdom and instruction, do not be one of these Christians who say, I'll do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. The Bible calls you a fool. God has given us some instructions on how we are to be living. It's up to you to take heed to that. Proverbs 8:10, the Bible says, receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. Instruction and knowledge of God are much more important than what most of us look at as important. We look at money as important. We look at possessions as important. Miss Barb's going to come this morning to the piano. I'm going to finish this up. As she comes, listen, I want you to start thinking about this. When we get to a point where we realize that everything we have belongs to God, that's when we can realize that we have put God first. At any moment, the same God that gave you the ability to make that money could take all that money from you, could take all those possessions from you. Have you ever read the book of Job? And he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He stayed away from things that he was not supposed to be around. He loved the Lord and feared him and gave his all for God. And he still lost everything. And at the end of the day, there's one thing that Job did not lose: his faith. He never lost faith in God. I wonder what it's going to take for you to stop trusting God in this life. If we were honest, most of us here, it does not take much for us to stop having faith. Listen, it takes things like this: sickness, health, death, hurt feelings, offended by someone, something, or someone said. All these things the devil will use to root up anger and bitterness in God's people and cause them to start doubting the Lord. Can I say this? We've got to get back to where we rely on God for all things. Understand that God is the God in the good times, and He's the God in the bad times. Listen, the piano's playing this morning. This altar's open. We're going to sing this song, The God on the Mountain. Can we start at the beginning, Miss Barb?